Good morning. It's Drive Time, a show about anything automotive. Co-hosted by automotive industry veterans Tom Chatter, Desmond Creighton, and Ken Freund. Tom's a popular speaker, consultant, trainer, and writer for the automotive industry. He's owned a chain of award-winning transmission shops and is the recipient of the industry's Lifetime Achievement Award. Desmond has over 30 years as a master technician, and he's the owner of Prescott Valley Transmissions, serving the Quad Cities area for 14 years. Ken's career spans four decades as a vehicle tester, master technician, technical writer, and more. So, sit back and relax as we talk about anything automotive. It's Drive Time.
I can't wait to get on the road again.
Yes, it's time for Drive Time. We're the only automotive talk show in the Quad Cities area. I'm Tom Chatter, and I'm joined each week by my sidekicks, Desmond Creighton and Ken Freund. Des owns the Prescott Valley Transmissions, where they're known as the hassle-free zone for car repairs. Ken's our car and motorcycle guru. His career spans over 40 years as a service advisor, certified technician, vehicle tester, and writer for several magazines. And we're going to hear more about Ken today with his overlanding experiences, and you'll understand more about that in a minute. Seems like Ken always has something special up his sleeve. I can't wait to see what he has to say today. Folks, even though we don't take live calls during the show, you can get involved by asking questions or making comments on our website. That website is drivetimeaz.com. Just use the Submit Your Question form on the website, drivetimeaz.com. We answer all your questions, but if yours is picked as the question of the week, we'll read it on the air, answer it, and you'll win a prize. You can also win a prize by sending us your favorite car or motorcycle song, along with a funny or sentimental reason why it's your favorite. So while you're thinking about it, go to drivetimeaz.com and submit your question or song of the week. Can you believe it's almost August already? And that reminds me, we've got a very special show coming up on August 19th. We had many requests from our lady listeners wanting to talk about auto care from the female perspective. So on August 19th, the entire show will be co-hosted by a panel of ladies from the automotive field. Here's a quick rundown of the panel. We have Lenora Bennett Bateman from Bennett Oil, Shannon Creighton, yes, that's Desmond's wife, from Prescott Valley Transmissions, Tammy Gage with O'Reilly Auto Parts, the wholesale division, Marilyn Mott, the director of community outreach for the BBB, and all the way from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Tiffany Sherrato, the founder of an organization called Amazing Women in Automotive. We're also trying to line up Angel Gomez, the co-owner of Prescott Tires and Automotive. We haven't yet got a confirmation from her, but she would be a delight to have here. So be sure to mark your calendars for that show on August 19th. We have some great show sponsors. It's so nice to have sponsors we can endorse rather than just promote. Prescott Tire Pros and Automotive Service is your hometown favorite for tires and auto care. All New Again Paintless Dent Repair makes hail damage and other types of dents and dings disappear, or it's free. Five Star Cars is a no-pressure dealer for top-quality cars, trucks, and SUVs. Bennett Oil is family-owned and has served the Quad Cities petroleum needs since 1938. Folks, that's 85 years. You can go to Third Shot Coffee and Acai at the Gateway Mall for a nutritious pick-me-up, or get juiced up at the Tropical Smoothie Cafe in Prescott Valley in front of the hospital. It's easy to contact any of our sponsors, too. You just go to the DriveTime AZ website and click on their logo. You'll be instantly transported directly to their website. While you're on our website, look under Ken's picture for links to Arizona car shows and motorcycle roads, rides, and events. You'll also find links to podcasts of our previous shows, so tell your friends. You and your friends never need to miss an episode. And that's at drivetimeaz.com.
Hey, Tom, speaking of great companies, you mentioned Lenora Bennett Bateman as a panelist for that upcoming August 19th women's panel. Well, she is in the studio today as a co-host. Lenora, you've been here before, and we're happy to have you back.
Thank you, Desmond. It's a great platform here that we get to come and talk about these things, so thanks for inviting me.
Folks, we also have a special guest here today, and ironically or interestingly enough, she's also a female in what's normally considered to be a man's sport. Stephanie Brady is the co-owner of Overland Journal Magazine and the Expedition Portal. I'm especially excited to talk about your magazine and what overlanding is all about.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Awesome.
Good to have you, Steph.
Thank you.
And by the way, Ken, you've done your share of overlanding yourself, whether you knew it was called overlanding or not when you did it. Who knows? I think Stephanie kind of invented the idea. Like riding motorcycles across six of the seven continents and living to tell us and even to write about it.
Yeah. We didn't know it was called overlanding then. We called it off-roading.
Right. But, Ken, what would you consider out of your motorcycle rides the most challenging one you did? What was your most challenging trek?
There have been a couple of them, actually, most of it in Africa. I did a motorcycle trip across the Sahara Desert to Timbuktu. And one of my co-riders, fellow co-riders, collapsed and was unresponsive and almost dead.
Oh my!
And it was in the middle of the Sahara Desert at 3 o'clock in the morning.
911 doesn't work there.
No. And then another one in Namibia in the Kalahari Desert, where I was riding down a dirt road at about 50 miles an hour, my front wheel dropped into a hidden rut. And I flipped end over end, and the handlebars went through my chest and punctured my lung and broke a bunch of bones, and I had burns and a lot of injuries. And I had to ride out in 128 degrees.
That sounds like a pretty tough trek to me. You know, actually, Sanford, the owner of the station, had a similar accident.
Yeah.
Around June, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, and he recovered too. So we're happy to see him back. So we have Stephanie here today, Stephanie Brady, the co-owner of Overland Journal Magazine. She was the founder, a co-founder, I guess we could say. About 16 years ago, you and Scott started it. Ken, I imagine you'll have most of the good questions about it. But Stephanie, you know, there's really two parts to your story. One is, how did you get into the magazine business? And then we want to talk about what overlanding is.
Okay, absolutely.
So let's start with that. How on earth did you get into the magazine business?
Yeah, such a good question. And it is quite the story. So basically, my then husband and I, named Scott, we were coming back from a trip. We had recently moved to Arizona. And we were just trying to figure out what would we do if we did something different. And at that time, Scott had a website and that he would just write about his trips and post things and everything like that. And we're just trying to see, you know, could we make a go of this? And so we were coming back from a trip. We were trying to figure out what we wanted to do. And he says to me out of the blue, "What do you think about starting a magazine?" And I'm like, "What?" And I didn't say this to him, but in my mind, I'm thinking, who starts a magazine, you know? And so anyways, we talked about it a little bit, and I could see that he was really serious about this. And unbeknownst to me at the time, he had already bought the URL overlandjournal.com, and he had already been talking to the man who was going to be our first editor. And so basically, that was August of 2006, and we got home, and I formed an LLC. We started gathering our team. By November, we had the first meeting with our team. By January, we got me an iMac, which I didn't have any experience designing a magazine. I don't even know how I did that. When I figured out I was going to be the designer, it kind of...
So you didn't come into this with years of magazine experience?
We had no magazine experience. Absolutely nothing. So we got me my first iMac. We borrowed the Adobe Creative Suite, which is what I make the magazine in, because we could not afford to purchase it. And by May, we were at the printer. So this is May 2007 with the first copy of our magazine.
So this is a classic story of bootstrapping a business.
Oh, we bootstrapped that business.
Wow.
Yeah. We did have a couple people initially who invested a little bit with us, which within a couple years, we were able to buy their interest out. But yes, we just hit the road running. We actually bought a book called how to run a magazine, but no one had time to read it. So
now you can write a book.
Now we can write a book. So we just jumped in and did it. And the very interesting thing is we started that magazine and that recession hit. But the interesting thing, because we had no overhead, we were running this out of our home. We just did it. So basically where all the other magazines were shrinking because they had all this overhead, we had nothing because it was out of our home and we were actually growing. So while the other magazines were shrinking and we were getting calls now from other editors of other magazines, can they come work for us? We were hiring people.
Wow. Well, Stephanie, in your bio, I'm looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. There's one paragraph I just want to read.
Okay.
And then I want to explain why it kind of tickles me. She loves Range Rovers, contemporary architecture, caramel macchiatos, Apache helicopters, and her Alaskan Malamute Atlas. By the way, that Atlas is a terrific dog. Mm-hmm. I walk by every day and see him. She enjoys travel and is comfortable behind the wheel in a remote location as she is behind her iMac. So it sounds like an ad for a dating site to me.
All right, now taking applications,
No, it'd be a terrific ad for a dating site, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because just writing that, and I think at first, like, I felt like, you know, way back when, you have all these people, you know, like our small team that we had gathered, everyone was super, super into, you know, the camping and the whatever, right? And I was a little bit different in all of it, but I think it all came together because my interests were more in design and architecture and stuff like that. But, you know, it was so, so perfect to be able to design the magazine and do what I do and just have a different perspective. And I think that is also what made our magazine so special is because I had no experience coming into this and I had no experience on how to make a magazine because I'd never done anything like this before. And so our magazine looked very, very different than all the other publications, especially at the time, which were this hardcore rock crawling, lots of yellow and red and exclamation points and screaming. And us, it's, if you see the magazine, it's always had a black cover. I use very simple, high quality, you know, just design. It's all quality paper, high quality cover. And so it's just, it looked different. And I think that set us apart initially. We also have a 30% ad cap. So you get content when you get our publication. It's not just all about the ads. It is about content.
It is a beautiful magazine. It almost
gorgeous.
Looks like a brochure for a luxury car or, some of the publications they put out for luxury items.
I was going to say really kind of an oversized National Geographic even.
It's a beautiful magazine.
Thank you. We have been compared to that a lot, and just running things that were different, especially at the time. And now it's just become, you know, what the industry now expects with this. It was different at the time, though, when we started that 16 years ago.
So before we started the show, Lenore, you were engaged in a conversation that you just experienced this last weekend.
We did. We were a couple weeks ago. We were at Yellowstone traveling, and I was just amazed at how many of these overland vehicles were out and about and what a great little size they are. You know, I, as a kid, we always traveled in a motorhome that my parents loved, but with that, you really couldn't get out to where you really wanted to be, or you had to park that and, you know, walk, you know, miles and miles to get where you wanted to be. But these overland equipment or whatever you call them, they'd pull right up into a parking space right there in Yellowstone, and just a really nicely built vehicle and self-contained and great way to travel.
And that's what's so beautiful about, I think, the overlanding as a whole, which is basically how we defined it, is just vehicle dependent adventure and expedition travel. So, and it doesn't even matter what vehicle it is, because everyone's different. So whether you're traveling in a Jeep or whether you're traveling in a Land Rover or Land Cruiser or some sort of motorcycle, it doesn't matter. It is basically you're taking whatever it is that you have that you like that works for you and your lifestyle, and you're getting out and doing it. This is about the journey and about getting out. And we try to be very careful because obviously depends on how far you're going, but you obviously need gear for your vehicle, right? Whatever it is, whether you need bigger tires, but it's dependent on where you're going, right? So say you need a little bit bigger tire, or you decide you want a refrigerator in your truck, or you need a rooftop tent, whatever. But we always say, like, don't spend so much money on staying at home. is fixing up your truck or your vehicle that you do not get out, because that's the whole point. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, we featured a story many, many years ago, and these three college-age kids had taken a London cab and were working all through all like the world. And so, again, there was nothing special about that vehicle. It was on regular. It was a London cab, mm-hmm. you know, the cute little black London taxi, and they were doing it. So, and you'll see that all over the world, right? Like, mostly, this isn't a, you know.
So it's kind of a concept of a it's self-contained, right?
I mean,
these
sure.
vehicles are obviously self-contained
yes.
and have everything you would need to be readily prepared to do whatever you're going to do. But yes. it's almost like the tiny home for the you know, Class A motorhome or
exactly.
you know, the big ones.
That's such mm-hmm. a good comparison, because it mm-hmm. is, and they are self-contained. But there's not like a set standard. It's whatever works for you. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to be out for long distances and times, perhaps solar panels would be good for you. And almost everyone these days has, you know, fridges on board. But then, you know, it just depends on how you want to sleep, right? Do you want to tow behind a teardrop trailer, or do you want to sleep on top of your vehicle? Are you fine with tent camping it? Whatever.
And you don't really have to go out into the wilderness.
You do not.
Just take off and go.
You do not. Like, so much. Like, I've had the opportunity, and we have, as a team, we are very well traveled. This is not a magazine of people produce, you know, sitting on a high rise somewhere. We actually practice what we preach. And that's, I think, the beauty of this magazine, is because we are actually out there testing the vehicles, testing the gear, actually out there doing it. Yeah, and so
it's real.
It's real.
Yeah,
it's authentic.
You're living it, and you're
And we have always striven. You know, we strive for that.
So I want to read this, and then I have a question for you, Ken.
Okay.
Overlanding describes self-reliant adventure travel to remote destinations, where the journey is the primary goal. Does that describe your life?
I guess so. You know, I've been overlanding pretty much all my adult life. And I've kind of worked my way up. You know, I had like an old four-wheel drive Suburban, and I put an ice chest and a little gas propane stove and things in it, and a little portable sink. And I worked my way up. But then I also found that when you have too much equipment, it bogs you down. So I've gone all over South America on a little one-cylinder motorcycle camping, and across Africa on a one-cylinder motorcycle several times.
So back to her thing about you don't need to have a huge budget to do this.
Yeah, and I applaud this. I think you guys got in at the right time. You actually were probably a little bit early in the curve.
I agree.
And now this area is the hotbed of it. It's like every
yeah.
tenth car is an overland vehicle now. And with the mountains and with the Overland Expo up in Flagstaff and stuff, I've taught up there.
Okay.
And I just love the lifestyle, because it allows you to do pretty much anything you want to do.
Anything.
And go anywhere you want to go.
Absolutely. Whatever it is, however big you want to build the truck
yeah.
or not, how much stuff you want to take or not,
yeah.
where you want to go or not, you know, it doesn't matter. It's really for you. We are proponents, though, of, you know, watching your gear, because you are 100% right. You do not need a ton of stuff. The more stuff you bring, you know, it's just it hinders your ability. You realize you don't need a lot of stuff to actually do this. Like, you don't really yeah. realize it until you're out on the road. Like, when we drove from here to Panama, and we had a platform with a company called Earth Roamer. And basically, for those 2 months that we were gone, I basically had a drawer that was 1 foot by 1 foot in the back of this Jeep, you know, that was converted into a camper, and then another one that was like, you know, 6 inches by whatever. But that was all the stuff, clothing and, you know, face stuff and lotion, you know, whatever I had for 2 months. And it was more than fine. More than fine.
Yeah.
Simple. Minimalist.
It is so nice.
I used to be on a mountain rescue team, and basically I just adopted, for these motorcycle trips, I just adopted my mountain gear because it was all lightweight and compact, and I could fit it in the saddle boxes on a little one-cylinder bike.
Yeah, and there's such freedom in that.
Yeah.
Stephanie, I would imagine that at some point or another, your vehicles get little dents or dings in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and do you even know what paintless dent repair is? You ever heard of it?
Well, you'll have to tell me.
Well, we're about to. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Bruce, Brandon, Matt, and Chris over at All New Again over in Prescott Valley. Let me tell you, these guys are magicians when it comes to making dents literally disappear. When I say disappear, I mean just that. They're invisible. The beauty of paintless dent repair is that your car's original paint remains intact, so the integrity of the finish is preserved. By the way, they'll tell you right up front if your damage is right for paintless dent repair. They never charge you for estimates, and there's no appointment needed. You can even send them a picture of your dent, and they'll give you their opinion right over the phone. Your satisfaction's guaranteed. Even if they try to fix it and can't make it perfect, they don't charge you. I came up with this slogan for them: results you can't see, or it's free. They loved it, they use it, and they mean it. Here's an alert for you. Hail season is here, and hailstorms attract hail chasers. As the name implies, these outfits travel around the country chasing hailstorms. They pop up tents and signs on every corner, and the sign says, "We fix hail damage." The problem is, they blow out of town as fast as the hailstorm blew in. Once they're gone, what are you going to do if something goes wrong with their work? These guys are tricky, too. They'll get burner cell phones and local numbers so you think they're hometowners. Don't fall victim to these gypsy-style operators. I was over at All New again recently and saw an example of the kind of work done by some of these hail chasers last season. Believe me, it wasn't a pretty sight. The poor owner needs to have it all done over. So when it comes to paintless dent repair, take it to All New again. They've been in business for 2 decades, and they're here to stay. They're located at 8000 East Long Mesa Drive over in Prescott Valley. Contact All New Again Paintless Dent Repair by going to the DriveTimeAZ.com website and clicking on All New Again. It will take you straight to their website and tell them Drive Time sent you.
Desmond? So basically, well, I want to make sure I understand this. Overlanding is just you're taking your ride out and you're going camping and whatever you want to do, explore the... That was the reason I moved up here. I take me and my grandson, jump in our Can-Am, and from my driveway, I don't trailer my Can-Am anywhere. We just jump in and go. And where are we going to go? We put our little tent and our shade and our chairs, and we pack a lunch. And we were supposed to go to Lake Pleasant yesterday from my house in Cordis, not touching pavement. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we didn't get to go. But that's why I love that. I love that lifestyle. Oh, my goodness. How much fun do we have going out, buddy?
A lot.
We always have a blast.
Say that in the microphone, Brady. How much fun do you have doing that, Brady?
We have a ton, and the amount of places we go is just... We have gone to... Papa, have you tell them how many places we've been?
Yeah. Crown King, Sheepsbury, hey, you name it, everywhere we go. We just jump in and go riding, and wherever we end up, we end up. We'll find an interesting trail, and let's go see where that goes. Finding secret waterfalls. We found we call it our hidden waterfall. You never see footprints, tire marks, anything. Like nobody knows about it, and that's right in my backyard. And
that's so special that you get to do that, and you get to do it together.
Oh my goodness. I love it.
I imagine that COVID probably took a whole new spin on the Overlander phase and craze. People weren't going to hotels, and so it probably jump-started that whole thing again.
I honestly think that was like a huge factor, and also why the industry was already on a really upward trend of growth. But I feel like around the COVID timeframe, it exploded. Like, I know our business personally, you know, with the magazine, and then we have the Expedition Portal site. It exploded, on both sides of that. And we started a podcast that year. We started video. And because people couldn't get out and they couldn't go to hotels, but they could jump in their vehicle and go camp or travel across, you know, and not see anyone. Like, but they all made it work. And we have so many people who tell us, you know, they would get stuck. So a lot of overlanders who write for us, I mean, they were stuck various places, but then they just took the opportunity to, you know, travel around and enjoy the time. But yes, that was definitely a growth year.
I can't help but give Lenora a chance for a plug here.
I expect they're all using fuel. You know,
I was just going to say, is there anything that they might use, lubricant, fuel, or anything like that, that Bennett Oil wouldn't supply in one way or another?
Well, absolutely. Fuel is a major component of anybody out in a vehicle, you know, and I would imagine, you know, thinking about where these overlanders go, they're typically, it sounds like they're maybe really not on the paved roads, they're on dirt roads. And so, you know, to have a supply of fuel with them and lubricants and hydraulics. I mean, all of those things Benadryl provides.
And good quality fluids. And
right.
I'm telling you, you can't take a chance when you're in the middle of nowhere breaking down.
Absolutely.
You have to help yourself.
Now, I don't know about Pacific Pride. I know there's thousands of places, but the beauty of that is it doesn't matter 24/7 if they have a Pacific Pride card, no matter where they are, if they can find a Pacific Pride location, they can fuel up.
And with the generators, I'm guessing that these units use, you know, there's a lot of people don't know that there's two types of diesel fuel. There's a diesel that has road taxes on it, and there's a diesel that does not include the road taxes. And I would imagine with the generator usages on these vehicles that maybe they're using an off-road diesel. Not quite sure what they have there.
I'm not really sure either. It probably depends from person to person and vehicle to vehicle of what they're using.
So it's a really interesting style of travel. It's neat to watch as an outsider, you know, to see people so self-contained and really not needing much, and they're out and having a lot of fun.
So, Lenora, you seem like such a proper lady.
Okay.
Would you be a camper? Would you do something
Absolutely.
Like this?
So glamping is, of course, you know, the thing. Nobody's really, well, not many people are out in a tent anymore. I've never camped in a tent, but just because my parents have always had motorhomes. But this is a nice in-between, it sounds like. You know, you're not on the ground unless you want to be, but you've got the components in that vehicle that make you very comfortable.
Yeah. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I swore I'd never camp again. So my idea of camping is a chaise lounge next to a pool.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even, I got to be honest, I am jealous of the people. And I run into them in my shop. They have breakdowns and things of that nature. And I'm just jealous that they get to go wherever they want to. I'm seeing a lot of people buying old school buses, making them into motorhomes, and they're working remotely. And I'm driving by that weekend going, hey, I just fixed their bus, and they're out there living the life that I wish I could.
100%. No, I often, I have thankfully been able to do a lot of travel, but I often think that as I'm sitting there laying in the magazine and I'm watching, you know, I'm seeing all these people's pictures and where they went and whatever, and I'm like, okay, I need to get out again. But absolutely. And that's like the beautiful also thing about this lifestyle. Some people, you know, they have their jobs and they go out on the weekends, and some people, they go so far as to, you know, sell a lot of what they have, and then they find a way to work on the road, which you can do these days just with the nature of the internet and all these, you know, businesses. You can, you know, run an internet business, or, you know, you can write for a publication such as ours or any of the other magazines. You can take photographs. You know, there's so many things you can do these days to bring an income while you're on the road, which has also, I think, caused the industry to explode. You know, there's also just a lot of people willing to do that. They want to unplug from that 9-to-5. And I think COVID showed us we can unplug from the 9-to-5 and still make it work. You know, we're still okay. And, you know, just an alternate way to live.
You know,
so people actually, I'm sorry, Tom, you know, people actually live in these units. I mean, is this their main residence?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Some, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. And not all, you know, I think it's like kind of split. Like some of them just live, you know, if our readers live vicariously through the magazine and the things, you know, on our website. But there are so, so many. Like a lot of our regular contributors or even semi-regular contributors, they are living on the road. Like we are pulling in stories from them wherever they are all over the world. And sometimes they split their time. Sometimes they'll go out for 4 months, 6 months, 8 months and then come back, you know, where they have a home base. And sometimes, I mean, we have people on the road that they've been on the road 15, 20 or more years.
Wow.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, you know, yep. Simon and Lisa Thomas.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've been on the road. They're good friends of mine. They've been on the road on motorcycles for like at least 15 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They pull one of those little motorcycle trailers behind them?
No, they don't. They're self-contained. They have the boxes and a bag on the back seat, and they're contained without any trailer. They have two bikes.
Are they traveling to hotel?
No, they mostly camp.
They're mostly
wild camp.
Wow. Yeah, and we even found, like, when we drove from here to Panama, it was kind of a mix of most of the time we would stay in our vehicle. And again, we had a big thing that folded out. So here's a bed. There was a shower in there. There was a toilet. And again, in a very, very small space. It was in the back of a Jeep. But sometimes we would stay in a hotel. And it just depended. Sometimes, you know, it's like pouring down rain or super humid, you know, maybe conditions, or maybe we just want to get out of the truck. So, but mostly people are self-contained, and that also helps them save money versus going into a hotel every single night, right? Obviously, your expense is really up if you're doing that versus you're self-contained and you can just stay, you know, wherever you happen to be.
So you mentioned that this kind of started with in your life around 2006.
Right. So that's when it started. Wow. That's when we, you know, our first magazine went to the printer of May 2007.
Was
so
it already called Overlanding at that time?
You know what?
Or did you coin the name?
Well, in Australia and Africa, that term was floating around. In the United States, we had not heard it at all floating around. So when we started this magazine, and I think all this magazine did, it just gave a line in the sand, a place for, one, the definition of overlanding. Like, what is that? What does it look like? And then also, you know, the tribe for the tribe to meet. Right. And I think when the Overland Expo came on the scene, which is the big event where the tribe can go gather together, man, that really just that gave it faces. Right. And then this gave it what is it? Yeah. This was a lot of the magazine was a lot of just defining of what it is, what it looks like, where you go. How does this all work?
Before I forget, tell our listeners how they can get the magazine, how they can get into the portal, all that stuff.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so you can subscribe online to overlandjournal.com. Also on there, you can listen to all of our podcasts. We're currently at 153 podcasts, and those are very, very fun and exciting, and everything from interviews to gear to stories to just all how to do things like that. And then the other site is Expedition Portal. And so that's expeditionportal.com. And so that has the same thing like with the magazine, lots of travel and adventure stories, gear reviews, field tested, things like that. And on there, we also have a 200,000 member portal site. So adventurers from all over the world can come and connect with each other on our site.
So I asked if it's kind of like Facebook for overlanding.
Yes, kind of like that. Yes. Yeah. It's just allowing those people to connect. And, you know, and it's great. So they connect online, then they might go to an event and they see each other on the event. And, you know, Tom and I were talking earlier, but basically many years ago, we had been traveling and we literally you just put it up on our website of like, okay, we're flying into this place and we need a truck, and someone met us at an airport with a truck. And so because again, people just wherever all over
you
the
just
world
put it out on the portal and someone raises their hand and says I'll
yes.
do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like how you explain it as a tribe. You know, it really is a community.
It is.
Out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Of, community.
Yeah.
This
love
style,
the,
this energy.
I love the overland events because it's like old home week for me. You know, I've run into guys, Kenji Suzuki that I had met in Timbuktu.
Okay.
I ran into the Hansons that started the Overland mm-hmm. Expo in Tierra del Fuego in Ushuaia, tip of South of America.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into some guys in Cape Agulhas. And Aguilas, I mean, I guess it's pronounced Aguilas. And do you know Ted Simon?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's an old friend of mine. He's gone around the world twice.
Yes.
On a motorcycle. And Greg Frazier just stopped by and stayed at my house. He's gone around the world 6 times on a motorcycle. He holds the Guinness record for the most
wow.
times around the world.
Just curious, would a sailboat be considered overlanding or overwatering?
You know, we are actually, yeah, that has always been something of Scott's, even from when we started the magazine, that would, you know, maybe be the next thing. He's already kind of down that road.
Okay.
And we actually just recently in one of the last magazines featured travelers who had actually moved from overlanding to sailing, because it's actually a lot of the same exact concepts, right? It's vehicle supported adventure travel. So whether you're on a sailboat or whether you're in a motorcycle or a four wheel, you know, drive time type of truck, yeah, that's it all kind of works.
I have to take a quick break. We'll come back to you, Ken, but the music's ramping up here for our listener question of the week. To enter, just go to our website, drivetimeaz.com, and submit your car repair question or concern. If your entry is selected, you win. It's that simple. Congratulations to this week's winner. You get a $225 gift card package from our sponsors and one of our friends of the show, Third Shot Coffee and Acai, located in Gateway Mall next to Starting Point Church. My personal favorite is the Prescott Power Acai Bowl. It's protein-packed with all kinds of natural peanut butter and whole bunch of other nutritious stuff. It's a perfect meal replacement. They also serve specialty coffees, breakfast, bakery goods. Let them know that you heard about them on the Drive Time Radio Show. This week's winner is Charlie. Charlie's question is perfect for Lenora. It seems, here's his statement, it seems like I've seen different branded gas tankers dropping fuel at unbranded stations. Can you explain the difference between brands?
Well, absolutely. You know, I'll go back a little bit because you're talking about even the tankers. You know, there's a lot of different carriers who just haul the fuel. So
you guys actually own one.
We do. We own American Transport, which is our transportation leg of Bennett Oil. So when you say, you know, you'll see random tankers in a station, that's because there's just different carriers of the fuel. When you're dealing with a Texaco or a Chevron, a branded station, that station owner is, you know, contracted to put branded fuel in their tanks. And there is a difference, and it comes down to the additives in that fuel. So Arizona, as we talked about before, does not have a refinery. So all the fuel that comes into Arizona comes through a pipeline. Comes from Texas and it comes from California. So then when you start dealing with the branded fuel, obviously, you know, people can recall the commercials with Chevron where they have the Techron, you know, that's added into the Chevron fuels.
And I love Techron.
Yeah. So so when you're fueling at a branded station, you better be getting Chevron fuel, you better be getting Texaco fuel and whatnot. But you may wonder, well, what about those stations that don't have that well-known brand to them? What kind of fuel are you getting? And you're probably getting a fuel that just doesn't have the same additives as some of those other higher name brands.
But they might drop branded fuel at the unbranded station.
Depending on price, sure. Yeah, yeah, it's all dependent on price. Mm-hmm. The branded station can never drop unbranded fuel, but the unbranded station can pull from the market and get whatever is most price sensitive.
So
them.
That actually answers the second question, which was, what are the risks of buying at an unbranded station? And the risks are you don't know what you're getting.
Consistency, in that product, okay. And what might be in that tank. Sure.
All right. And then this is kind of an intuitive question. One of your show sponsors, he's asking us this, mm-hmm. not knowing that you were going to be our guest today.
Okay.
Okay. One of your show sponsors is Pacific Pride. Is Pacific Pride an actual brand?
Pacific Pride is a franchise. And what that allows us to do is, for instance, Bennett Oil, we can issue a card, a fuel card. So you'll notice that there's gas stations around. We have, you know, several. We have two in Prescott. We've got Prescott Valley and Chino Valley. And you'll notice that there's no convenience store next to it. There's no kiosk for where a normal cashier is standing ready to mm-hmm. collect the sale. But we issue a card that is good at this location. And the Pacific Pride is a franchise that allows us to network with other locations throughout the United States. So if you're a business owner and you've got 10 dump trucks or something, and you really don't want to hand a Visa card out to all your drivers because you want to limit what they can really purchase and what they have access to, the Pacific Pride will limit that this is a fuel-only card. So Pacific Pride, I guess you could say it's a brand, but it's a franchise that we belong to that allows networking of fuel purchases across the United States.
Okay, so this is my question.
Okay.
If I were a Pacific Pride cardholder and I went to Pacific Pride, can you tell me what brand of fuel I would get here locally from your stations?
It's a Tier 1 fuel that comes out of Phoenix. It will not, depending on the pricing again, it may have some additives in it as far as a Texaco or Chevron or a Techron.
So in that
fuel.
Sense, it would be unbranded.
It would be unbranded.
Okay.
Yep.
And is there cost savings to using Pacific
there is.
Pride?
There is. A lot of times we'll put people on a volume level. If we can lump all of their sales together where their volume number is significant, we can put them on an aggressive pricing structure that saves them some money below what the street price is for most everybody else.
So we've kind of turned this question into a Pacific Pride Bennett Oil spot, which is fine with me.
Okay.
So why don't we ask some more questions about Bennett Oil, but more specifically Pacific Pride. What are, besides the fuel cost and the convenience that is 24/7, what are some of the other
advantages?
What else
do you get? So we can put some controls on these cards. You know, fuel for a lot of businesses, fuel and labor is some of their largest expenses. And so we can put some limits on how much fuel they're going to be getting. For instance, if I met with a business owner and he wants to put his company on this specific pride program, and he wants, you know, he really wants to hold his drivers at 50 gallons a day, or he only wants his drivers to fuel between 5 and 7 in the morning because he wants them out to their jobs, or he never wants them to get premium. He only wants to make sure that you know, we're getting unleaded. So there's controls that can be put in place that manage the fuel usage for that company. So if you're managing it, and people aren't getting things that they really shouldn't be getting, or more of what they should be getting, it's just a savings for that business owner.
All right. I can't help but ask this question.
Okay.
It just piqued my curiosity. I got an employee who's on a 50-gallon-a-day limit, and he had to go on the road, and he's
run out of his 50 gallons.
What happens? Yeah.
So we get an alert that card has been denied, and we'll call the customer and say, we've got your employee out there who's needing, you know, has tried to use his fuel card. Do you want us to allow him to get more fuel?
So there is a way to fix that on the fly, so to speak.
So it puts a lot of controls in the hands of the business owner so that they're not out there managing all these employees that have, you know, it also doesn't put a credit card in all of these employees' hands, you know, that he then has to think about, are they using it and buying the things that they're supposed to be buying? It tracks it down to just the fuel usage, and then it organizes it in a way that a lot of our files then will dump right into, a lot of companies are using management systems for their vehicles, fleet management, and it'll give them a lot of information about their fuel usage for their company.
Okay, you're going to hate me for saying this, but prior to meeting you, I used to go to Costco for gas all the time.
Okay.
But then I found out, because Chevron was always inconvenient.
Okay.
And I do really love Techron. And then I found out, since I met you, that Texaco has Techron in it.
Yep.
And so I'm now religiously going to your Texaco over on Sheldon
Street. Thank you, Tom.
And the deli in there is terrific.
They do have great food.
I joke about this, that now that I'm using that, I hardly ever have to buy gas anymore because it seems to make gas.
Well, there you go. Well, I don't know that I can repeat that for everybody, but that's great to hear.
So Lenora didn't say that. That was me. But
You've increased your fuel efficiency by using good gas.
Right. So. But even though I'm retired, I never seem to have time. And there was a thing on the pump the other day that told me I could save a dollar a gallon.
You can.
But I didn't take the time to figure out how to do that. Can you share
right now,
it with us?
Right now, there's a promotion, Chevron, Texaco. They're the same company. So there's a promotion right now where they're trying to build their rewards program for the consumer. And they're offering, if you get onto their app, they're offering 3 fill-ups where you get a dollar a gallon off. And then this gets you onto their platform and their app where there's lots of other promotions that can come through to
you. So does the dollar a gallon come off of that purchase, or is it a rebate?
Right then and there. No, right then and there. It's discounted a dollar a gallon off.
Wow.
Yep. So if you ran over to our site on Sheldon Street, you'll see literature and signage that has the QR code that you can download that app right then and there to your phone. And that fill-up and the next 2 fill-ups, you'll get a dollar a gallon off.
So your instructions to me is slow down, Tom, and read the brochure.
Sign up for the app and get your dollar a gallon off. Yeah,
it's that simple.
Yep, it is simple.
Well, I'm going to do that next time.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
But
done it, too.
Even without that, I love going there. And the other thing I like about it, unlike Costco, you've got the things out there to clean the windshield.
We have squeegees.
You know, that's so
we
nice.
We do. That's a big deal to customers.
Lenora, while we're at this, is there anything else special going on over there at Bennett Oil?
Well, there certainly is. I'm glad you mentioned it. This year we're celebrating our 85th year in business.
Wow.
My grandpa Bulacek started the company in 1938, and we've had generations of great employees and great partners, and, you know, we enjoy an extremely loyal customer base here in Prescott. And it's allowed us to enjoy 85 years in business.
85 years.
Wow.
Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it 85 years. I'm working on it, though.
Yeah, but yeah. All of that comes from a lot of things going right. You know, we've had generations of great employees, very loyal, capable employees and customers. And of course, we have a very high standard to hold up and a reputation to keep going. And so people expect good things from us, and you know, some of our competition is our best salespeople out there for us because they can't keep up with our service and quality products and what we offer to our customers.
So this is just a sidebar thing. Atlantic Richfield is ARCO today. We call it ARCO. And the highest, I did public speaking when I was working full-time, and the highest paid gig I ever got was at an ARCO convention.
Really?
And they didn't even ask me how much. They said, this is what we'll pay you. And, so that's my feather.
You were there as a motivational speaker? Or
you know what?
Exactly
it was kind of funny. They wanted me to teach them how to answer the phone better. It was a phone skills seminar. And the irony is, I go in, and it was in Southern California. And hardly anyone in the audience spoke English.
Oh, no.
So they had an interpreter there, and I'd never worked with an interpreter before. They were interpreting to Spanish, and they were interpreting to, I don't know what the other language would have been, probably a Middle Eastern language of some type. But it was just kind of comical. And then I finished it, and I was sweating bullets. And the guy came up, and he said, our next speaker canceled. Or is not going to make it. He missed his plane or something. Could you do another seminar?
Wow.
I was like,
on what?
They said, do it again. So I did it twice.
Huh, that's nice.
Yeah, that was ARCO. Okay, so Ken, I interrupted you. You had another question for Stephanie.
I think I've got, it's probably more of a compliment. You know, I've been in the magazine business for roughly 30 years. And what it did was it allowed me to travel and write about it.
Right.
You know, and that was the hook for me. And one of the magazines that I've been involved with since about the same time, actually from 2006, was Roadrunner Magazine, which is a motorcycle travel magazine, an adventure travel magazine. So that's a tie-in where I did a lot of stuff. And I've seen that magazine grow. That's a family-owned business, too, you know. And so they did it on a shoestring also. There's a lot of parallels. Mm-hmm. And about the same time and the same kind of magazine look and, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really features high-quality photography like yours. And I can, you know, really I have a good feeling for what you've gone through and the risks you took. A lot of print magazines, as you know, have folded, and there's only a handful of really good ones left.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and of course yours is certainly one of them, one of my top favorites.
Thank you.
Those are kind words, but I wish you folks at home could just feel this magazine.
Yeah.
It's heavy, it's glossy, it's like you can't wait to dive into it. It's such a quality magazine. And I just would encourage you to go to that website and subscribe, or at least take a look at the, I imagine there's an e-zine of some type they can look through, right?
Absolutely. We definitely have on the Overland Journal website, there are magazines, like digital type issues you can look through. We also have a lot of in each particular issue. So you can just see the spreads and kind of what they look like. But also on our website, the Expedition Portal site, is a lot of content. It's all free on there. You can just read through it. You know, the magazine is a subscription. You get it 5 times a year. But then, you know, and it's different content on the website than what you would get in the print magazine. But all good nonetheless. We always strive for very, very high quality. So the magazine gets the highest quality. And it doesn't mean the other is low quality in any way. It's just, it's kind of, you know, it's different. And also the website takes a lot more content than, say, the magazine where we print 5 times a year. At 136 pages. But yeah, no, we always strive for high quality in all that we do.
So Stephanie, you earlier said something about don't stress out over the details, just go.
Yes.
You know, and you mentioned tires. One of our sponsors is Prescott Tire Pros. You know the old adage, it seems too good to be true, and it probably is. Prescott Tire Pros and Automotive Service turns that old adage upside down. Until I met Louie and Angel, the owners of Prescott Tire Pros, I had heard their commercials on the radio, and I wondered if they were just another company that overpromises and underdelivers. Well, the time came when I needed some help with my mysterious vibration and clicking noise in my car. I had it checked out by a couple other shops, but they couldn't or wouldn't figure it out. And then someone I trusted told me to take it to Louie. Boy, was I glad my friend recommended them. They spent nearly an hour checking, testing, getting to the bottom of my problem, And when it turned out to be something they don't work on, they told me who to take it to for repairs. The amazing thing is they wouldn't take a dime for figuring it out for me. They said, just remember us next time and tell your friends about us. Little did I know back then that I'd be hosting a radio show a few years later. But here I am, and I'm telling you about Prescott Tire Pros and Automotive Service. I'm not telling you about them just because they're one of our sponsors. I've told a lot of my friends about them. I'm telling you about them because you can trust them. You know, they do a lot for the community, too. They're always helping veterans and other deserving individuals. They're simply fine, fine people, and I'm proud that they're one of the sponsors, and most of all, that they're my friends. By the way, they don't just sell tires. They're a full-service automotive center. If it's part of your vehicle, they most likely can service it, fix it, or replace it. And if it's something they don't work on, they'll tell you who you can trust to do it right. All their tires and repairs are covered nationwide with a written warranty that's second to none. The next time you need tires or anything automotive, do yourself a favor and take it to Prescott Tire Pros and Automotive Service. They're at 1635 Iron Springs Road next to Waters Garden Center. Or go to our show's website, drivetimeaz.com, and click on the Prescott Tire Pros logo. It'll take you straight to their website. So, Ken, not only does overlanding, but he's also our guru when it comes to car shows and motorcycles. I know many of our listeners have been waiting for the car show lowdown. You could say that Ken Freund is a car show junkie, but he's also into motorcycles. He's ridden motorcycles across six of the world's seven continents and lived to write about it. He's tested and evaluated motorcycles for virtually all of the major motorcycle manufacturers and then reviewed them in his articles in Rider Magazine and Roadrunner Magazine. Anyhow, Ken's been searching for the lowdown on upcoming events. So what's going on, Ken?
Yeah, and despite all the thunderstorms we're having lately, a lot of car owners are risking their pride and joys. Today, July 29th, there's Outlaw Cars and Coffee, which is a weekly event, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and it's at Outlaw Donuts, 414 West Goodwin Street in Prescott. There's now a new one over in, for us folks in Prescott Valley. It's over by Bosa Donuts, which is right by 6640 North Viewpoint, where it meets 89A, and that Cars and Coffee is 7 to 9 a.m. also every Saturday. There's a bike and ATV night at Founding Fathers every Wednesday, 5 to 8 p.m. at 218 North Granite Street, Prescott. We talked last week at length about this event, the Watson Lake Car Show and Truck Show and Swap Meet. It's an annual event of the Prescott Antique Automobile Club. This year it's August 5th and 6th, and it's the largest show of the year in this area. There's another one that's just been announced called Hope Fest Car and Motorcycle Show, August 19th. It's actually 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Courthouse Square in Prescott. And coming up the first Friday of the month in August, it'll be the Chino Valley Cruise Night at McDonald's, 1948 North Highway 89 from 4 to 8 p.m.
Remember to click the links under Ken's picture on the drivetimeaz.com website for the full scoop on car shows and motorcycle events. You know, Ken, you mentioned the Watson Lake show, and last week Bruce Wallace was on from Five Star Cars, and he said he's going to take his big, Hummer, big giant Hummer with, what did he say, 48-inch wheels or something like that?
44, I think, yeah.
So let's tell them about Bruce Wallace and Five Star Cars at this point. That's a good spot to plug that in.
And by the way, boys, they were 49s.
49-inch.
Wow. Oh, really?
Okay. I've been around the car business for over 40 years, and I've bought and sold a lot of cars. As the guy in the insurance ad says, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And I know this about Five Star Cars. They're truly a premier used car dealership. Before I asked them to be one of our sponsors, I visited the dealership to see how they treated people. I was favorably impressed. The owner, Bruce Wallace, says they're a stress-free dealership, and he means it. Five Star Cars specializes in quality pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. They keep their inventory fresh with new vehicles, constantly adding new inventory. But they won't just put any car on the lot. Every vehicle they sell goes through a comprehensive inspection process to make sure the vehicle meets their strict standards. Then they service, repair, test drive, and detail each vehicle, and they add a 30-day, 1,000-mile warranty. just to prove they're providing the best pre-owned vehicles available. Plus, they won't sell a car unless they can confirm its history. In fact, they post the Carfax report on the window of every car on the lot. Trade-ins are always welcome. They'll also buy your used vehicle for cash. Let me tell you, selling your car to them makes it a lot easier than taking the risk of trying to do it yourself with all those weirdos out there trying to scam private party sellers. Five-star cars owner Bruce Wallace says, "I've been around this town a long time, and we do business like we're going to be here for a long time to come. I can't recall ever seeing a used car dealership with an A-plus accredited Better Business Bureau rating. And the customer reviews on their website validate that the BBB A-plus rating is deserved. So whether you're shopping, selling, or just want to talk cars, make sure you give Five Star Cars a call or do what I did. Drop by for a visit. Five Star Cars is in Prescott Valley at 8057 East Yavapai Road. Contact Five Star Cars by going to our show's website, drivetimeaz.com. Click on the Five Star Cars logo, and it'll take you straight to their website. Tell them Drive Time sent you. Okay, folks, we're getting close to the end of the show. I just want to thank our guests and, of course, my sidekicks, but especially our special guest today. We have Stephanie. Stephanie, thanks for coming in. Anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I would say get out there and go. Like, don't let whatever vehicle you have or that you don't have the right gear or you don't have the right this or that. I would say just go. Get out.
Great. And Lenora, now that you're a new Overlander fan?
I am. What do you have to say? Yeah, it's inspired me to get out and go. And absolutely everybody that gets out and goes needs fuel to do that. So stop by a Pacific Pride or a Bennett Oil. Call Bennett Oil. We're right on Sheldon Street. If you have more questions about Pacific Pride and how it can help your business manage its fuel expense, so come and see us at Bennett Oil.
Brayden, tell everyone have a great week.
Have a great week, everyone.
You gotta love grandbabies.
All right, I hear that music ramping up, telling us we're drawing close to the end of the show. It's time to announce the winner of the Drive Time Song of the Week contest. To enter, just go to our website, that's drivetimeaz.com, and submit your favorite car or motorcycle song, along with a funny, sentimental story about why it's your favorite. By the way, don't forget that you can listen to our podcast replays of the show on our website, too. Congratulations to this week's winner of a $225 gift card package from our sponsors and one of the friends of the show. That's the Tropical Smoothie Cafe located on Florentine Road in front of Dignity Health in Prescott Valley. I happen to love their peanut butter cup smoothie with peanut butter, banana, and chocolate, and I like to add a shot of coffee for a little extra pop. They also serve sandwiches, flatbreads, and wraps. Give them a try and tell them you heard about them on Drive Time. It seems like we've heard more from ladies with favorite songs. I'm not sure what to make of that, but this week's winner is Sarah. Sarah says, "My dad used to let me drive his T-Bird when I was in high school. And believe me, it was fun, fun, fun." So here's Fun, Fun, Fun by the Beach Boys, 1964.
Well, you knew all along that your dad was
sure to tune in again next week and tell your friends about the show, too. Don't forget to visit our website, drivetimeaz.com, for more information and podcasts of previous shows. Until next time, have a great week. It's going to be a great week to have.
It's Drive Time.